Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to services. I feel like we should almost all introduce ourselves again, so make sure if you don't know the person next to you after church, shake their hands, put a name tag on. We might need to get those back, Mr. Bocelli, that we used to have a little bit. So it's good to be back with all of you and from sitting at home. The weather, at least we have sun. There's still snow out there, but we have sun. For me, honestly, it's glad to be back up here. The last time I got to speak at services was the last week of July. So it's kind of a neat feeling to be up here. I enjoy doing it, and it's kind of neat to sit here and speak to all of you again after taking essentially 6 months off and going through things. Because the last time I got up here, I spoke to you after, the last week of July was 2 weeks after my first seizure. And I stood up here only having had one at that moment. And I spoke with a little bit of hubris, thinking that what I had gone through was over. And I sat there and recounted to you that, it had been 2 weeks. I was feeling good at the time. I specifically even made a joke that I thought it was all over. It was just a bad Taco Bell that I ate the day before my first seizure. That's probably what caused it. And little did I know that 3 days later, having still felt good on a Tuesday night at about 7 o'clock, after having just played a game of Scrabble with the family, the four of us, where, as usually happens, Stephanie trounced all of us. She's never lost a game of Scrabble in the McNeely household. Now, it's one thing to beat a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. This 38-year-old can barely form words over three letters long, and I got destroyed as well, and most of them, those three letters, one of them was already built off another word. So she destroyed all of us completely, and as I was picking up the pieces and putting them away, my hand started twitching, just like this. And I realized from the first time I'd gone through it, that was my trigger. And I had 2 seconds, and I jumped on the ground, and I wrote out what ended up being a 5-minute seizure once again, a grand mal. I get very shaky, let's just say. Now, I did not pass out that time, though, and I remember every bit of it. Still to this day, I can tell you everything that went on during. I could hear my kids crying because they watched the entire thing. I could hear Stephanie holding my head in her lap, comforting me, if you will. And I would go on and have one the next day, and I would go on and have one the day after that. I had three right in a row over 3 days. But that one, that day, that Tuesday night, when I finally came to, having remembered everything at this point, I can honestly tell all of you, it was the lowest point in my entire life. I have never once in my entire life felt more sad, felt more trapped, felt lower than I ever have. And for a good hour, I lay on the floor. Steph was holding me. I didn't even try to get up. I just cried. And I'm not talking like just a couple little tears coming down. I'm talking I wept and just sobbed for a good hour. Because you can have one seizure and you can be a fluke. It can be bad Taco Bell. You have two, you're now epileptic. And it started to dawn on me, obviously, that now my life had just changed. At 38, having no plans otherwise, I had just developed a chronic neurological condition, and now I would have it for the rest of my life. I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what would happen afterwards. I just sat there and I cried. And I've never felt lower in my entire life. The other two that happened that week, I'll be honest, I didn't quite feel quite that same despair, but that day was the lowest I've ever felt. When I came to finally over the next couple of days, I realized, though, that I had a choice. And I still do, and it's a choice I have to make every day. I could let that define me. I could let that ruin me. I could let it bring me down. Or I could put my shoulder down and go head first and decide I'm going to fight this. And I'm going to have a positive attitude. And I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to fight it every day the rest of my life. And I decided to make that choice. I decided I'm not going to let it define me. I am going to overcome this. And that's a choice we all make. It's a choice I still have to make. And this year, and Mr. Carlson just mentioned it, we're honestly not that far away from the holidays, are we? And I've started a theme for myself this year, and I figured I'd share it with you all because when you speak, you decide to start sharing yourself and what you're thinking. That's what happens when you're speaking. Basically, whatever we're thinking, we just decide to say it out loud, and you all have to listen to us because you came here. And so I'm going to share my theme for the spring holidays. It's a one-line theme. I am this year going to focus on preparing my mind to think positively, so that I can prepare my body to change. I'm going to think and focus this year on being positive so that I can prepare my body to change. Because one lesson I've taken from this is I realize I don't any longer have control over my body. When you sit there for 5 minutes and can focus on everything but realize you have zero control, that's a very unnerving principle. But what I could control the entire time is what I thought. I can control what my mind did. And even coming out of this now, I've realized that I can stay positive. I could let it define me and bring me down and let it ruin my life, and that doesn't help anybody, including myself. Or I can think positively and prepare myself and always be ready. In modern day psychology, this is called the principle of resilience, which is kind of a newer word, but it's a principle we've all heard before and it's been around forever. It's the idea that when you're knocked down, you're willing to get back up. Whatever comes at you and whatever you face, it will not drain you. It will not take your resolve away from you. That no matter what, you will stand back up and you will continue to fight. Psychologists list concepts that go along with this are usually the ability to keep a positive attitude, to be able to control and regulate your emotions, or even the principle of optimism go along with somebody who has the ability to maintain resilience. And that's kind of my theme that I want to accomplish here. And not just because, honestly, you'll live a better life if you keep a positive attitude, I believe. I think you'll be healthier as well. But because, honestly, it's a godly principle, and it's what we should be. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans 5, I love Romans 5 and Romans 6. These are some of my favorite scriptures. Romans 6, really, both of these kind of deal a lot with, they're thrown at us a lot of times by people in the world who will say this is kind of doing away with the law. These are scriptures they'll talk about with doing away with the law and that, and whatnot. And if you really read them, they're really so much more beautiful than that. And Romans 6, Paul really starts to talk a lot of what, are the principles of God's whole plan and how we get there. But Romans 5, he starts to prepare it. In Romans 5, verse 1, he starts out with preparing us from a mindset and how we should be. Romans 5, verse 1 starts off with saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is basically this concept. It's a mental state. It's a state of well-being. It's the idea of comfort. It's the idea of being in a good place. It's a positive attitude. And that comes about through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 goes on and says, through whom we also have access by faith. Faith is what leads to that peace. Here, that access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That faith leads us to happiness. It leads us to rejoice in God's way of life. And that peace and happiness together then give us hope. That future-looking idea, that concept of what we're looking for in the end time. And verse 3 and 4 then goes about and gives us the way and how that comes about. Verse 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Your margin probably uses the word endurance, maybe. I would use the word in a modern sense of resilience. They're all honestly a very similar word and a similar concept, that tribulation produces perseverance or resilience. Verse 4, and that perseverance and character hope. They go in hand in hand. We are going to face tribulations in this world. None of us get out without it. That is not the life in the world we live in at this time until God returns and Christ is established as the King. But until that point, there will be tribulations, and we as individuals have a choice. And it's a binary choice. It's one or the other, that how we will respond to it. Will we let it get us down? Will we let tribulations define us? Will we let pain define us? Will we let health issues or family issues, will we let those define us? Or will we have resilience and perseverance, and will we stand up and say, no, I am going to continue on. I am going to keep moving. Because when we come down to verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is a concept that if we have access to the Holy Spirit, these themes we'll start looking forward to coming up in the spring holidays and come into Pentecost, that if we have access to that, this is the mentality that we should have as individuals. That Holy Spirit gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us comfort. And despite what happens, be they good times or bad, even in the face of tribulations, we'll realize that that is an opportunity for ourselves to grow. And if we keep a good mentality, if we have access and work with the Holy Spirit, we should be able to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to let it happen. Now, I don't think there was anything wrong with me sitting there for an hour and go through an emotional upheaval that went on. But when push came to shove, when it was time, I had to keep moving forward. I could not let just sit there and lay on that couch or on the bed or on the floor continuously. Otherwise, nothing would have been solved. We have to stand back up and realize that we can move forward and keep a positive attitude. Having resilience means focusing on changing our mind. And we can do that because we can't always change our bodies, can we? I realize in this case, to this day, I still can't control my body unless I take a medication twice a day. Two medications that I'll have to take for the rest of my life till the day I die. age and time win all battles in the modern world. None of us get out without those two things. You can eat right, exercise, do everything right in this world, eat only organic, age still wins. I hate to break it to you, but age and time win all battles with a physical mind and a physical body. And so our bodies will eventually get to a point where they will cease. That is a battle none of us can fight and win. But we look forward to a time when Christ is going to return and revive that body. Not in a physical way, not in a way that we are accustomed to, but it will be revived in a spiritual way that we look forward to, but it will be revived with a mind that we have now. That's the part we can control. We cannot control our physical bodies and how they age. We can modify them and we can delay, but we can control our mind, and that mind is what will be in that new spiritual body when Christ returns and we start looking forward to what gives us hope. The scripture that we're talking about here is that hope in the future. What we can control is the part that's still going to be present in that time. We'll be our spirit being. The physical body will be gone, but it will be our mind and what we've chosen and who we are that will be in that. And that's the part we can control right now. And that's the part we can start preparing right now, because that is a whole lifetime of correction that we have to go through in preparing our mind to stay positive, to think in a way that looks forward to God's way of life overtaking us and changing us in a way that's positively. That is what we can work on in our lives right now, and that is something we can take forever. Growth can come in many ways, but the best growth comes when we face something hard, we put our shoulder down and we take it on head on. And we don't push away from it. We don't try to get away from it. We realize that we have to overcome, and we have to fight, and we have to stand up, and we have to do it in a way that keeps positively, because if you can keep a positive attitude, I can tell you this with as concretely as I can and can think, if you keep a positive attitude and you keep moving forward, if you can focus your mind through that process and keep a level of resilience, then it will be a whole lot easier to come out on the other side. And you'll be able to do so in a way that really lets you grow and change that mind. And we can prepare our minds now to think positively, to think in a way that is good, in a way that is uplifting, and not drowned down in what can sometimes overcome us. I can't change what time does to my body. To this day, I honestly can stand before you now after 6 months and say I don't really have any side effects anymore. I'm running back to 8 to 9 miles at a time, no problem if I want to. I can lift weights. I got my driver's license back in November. Taking Ubers to work is no longer my reality, which is a fantastic feeling. Carl Rothenbacher did it by choice. I did not. He has better Uber drivers in Carmel, mine in Hendricks County. A little more sketchy, I'll be honest with you. So I'm very happy to have overcome that. I can use my driver's license again all of a sudden. And so that's, at this point, the only thing I've been told I cannot do the rest of my life is go scuba diving, which is something I love to do, don't get me wrong, but I live in Indiana. I can, that's day in, day out, I can survive not going scuba diving in Indiana. It's the only thing, only lifetime ban I have at this point. But I can change what my mind does. I can't control my body. Even as it's come back, something else will happen. I thought I was healthy 6 months ago leading into it. Something will change. Something will happen to all of us. We must all be ready for that. But what we can affect is our positivity and our mental attitude and how we approach things. That is what we can change, and that's what we can focus on. So when we look forward to a time when Christ is going to return and come back down, and our bodies are going to be raised, and they're going to be raised in a way to a spirit being, our mental attitude and our mind is what's going to go with it. And that is what we can prepare at this point. So as we prepare for the spring holy days that are, as Mr. Carlson said, just not that long, about 8 weeks away, and we'll be back taking the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, and we'll focus on putting physical sin out of our lives and taking things out of our house. Don't be scared to look inside as well and realize that our mind is the stuff that we can start preparing for now, and that is what we're here on this world to start changing now. Start thinking, we should really focus on thinking positively, no matter what we're faced, so we can really start to affect our mind and going forward and gaining that resiliency, so that when our bodies are changed, we're going to have the mind that's there to match that growth in body.